Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Friday morning. Good to be with you on a Friday and every day here at the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, March 24th, 2023. And Lent is moving by very, very quickly. A week from Sunday, do you believe it, is Palm Sunday already. And then we are into the week of the Passion of our Lord, the Triduum. And if your Lent is not going well, you know what? As St. Teresa of Avila always told her sisters after they came out of reconciliation, daughters, begin again, begin again. We have a God that loves us and allows continual U-turns as long as you have a contrite heart. So don't beat yourself up too badly. Don't shrug it off and say no big deal either, but maybe go back to confession and begin again. Looking forward to the program today, as always. Enjoy my conversations with Doug Keck, our President and Chief Operating Officer of the network. Fact Check Friday, I think it's in a really important segment that we do here, kind of helping you dissect what's going on and discern in the media. And I want to talk about the language that the media use. You've probably heard the stories about what's happening in the state of Florida, where the governor, Governor DeSantis, and others are really trying to work with parents and make sure that children, we're talking babies, kindergarten through third grade, aren't exposed to explicit material or aren't being groomed for particular lifestyles. And if you look at some of the content in these books that were pulled by various school districts in Florida, I mean, it will make even the most hardened person, I think, or someone who's been maybe seen a lot of this, cringe. These are very graphic, very explicit sexual books material that is being presented, or these books that were pulled, actually. And they did a whole video on this. The governor had a whole panel discussion on this. And, of course, in the media, they're continuing to call it the Don't Say Gay effort. It's nothing about that. It is about protecting children and letting children be children and allowing parents to have a say in what children are being exposed to. If you asked anyone on the street, I think you'd probably get, without, you know, asking their political party persuasion, if children in kindergarten or the first grade should be given sexually explicit material. Even in this very liberal, leftist culture, secularized world that we live in, I think most people would say that's ridiculous. That's harmful. Let them be children. And yet, this is what's happening. And so what the controversial thing is, according to the media, is that there are certain people who are saying that this is wrong. And they're saying those people, such as DeSantis and others, are the ones who are controversial, not what is being pushed on our kids. And language is extremely important. So important that the Associated Press style book, which is like the editing Bible for newsrooms everywhere, does similarly the same thing in terms of putting out these phrases and telling reporters how to refer to such things as pregnancy centers. They're no longer called pregnancy centers. They've come up with a new name, and they say this is mandatory language, and we'll talk about that as well, that must be used. And so the whole idea is to repeat these phrases: anti-choice, anti-abortion, don't say gay. Is anyone who opposes abortion or these other things, you're bad. You're mean, you're oppressive, you're backward. And they do this over and over and over and over again to desensitize us and to get us to accept and celebrate particular lifestyles that we know and things that are directly opposed, not only to our faith, but to the dignity of the human person in general. So we'll talk about that in Fact Check Friday. And then wrapping up with Mark Hart, a wonderful Catholic evangelist. Ascension has these really awesome programs for young people in the faith, helping them get really excited about being Catholic and receiving the sacraments. And we'll talk about these new tools with Mark Hart, because he is a part of Renewed and Received, both programs from Ascension Press. So that is our Friday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Ask for your prayers as I head out the door after the show. I've got a 12:45 flight down to Fort Myers, Florida. And I'll be part of an amazing and packed conference, Eucharistic Conference in the Diocese of Venice. and 1,400 people are registered. So I have two talks, one for the general conference goers, and then one for women. So I'm very excited about being there, and I love speaking. I love meeting new people. And so this is coming up tomorrow, all day, in the Diocese of Venice, Florida, actually taking place at a convention center in Fort Myers, but it's sold out. So unfortunately, they can't accept any walk-ins. It's just packed to the brim, as they say. I'll tell you all about it on Monday as well. Okay, the weather. We'll have a little bit more on this in the news. The Weather Service right now is saying widespread heavy rain and flash flooding possible across the Mid-Mississippi Valley and Ohio Valley through today and tonight along a slow-moving cold front. South of this front will be a severe weather threat from the southern plains and mid-south and lower Mississippi Valley to the Ohio Valley. Chilly temperatures and heavy mountain snowfall persisting for parts of the west as well. We'll have more details, as I mentioned, in the news. Right now, it's already 5 minutes past the hour. And speaking of the news, we need to get started on a Friday morning, March 24th. Well, from the Vatican, Christopher Wells tells us the Pope emphasizing the importance of the sacrament of reconciliation.
The Holy Father was addressing participants in the annual course on the Internal Forum, organized each year by the Apostolic Penitentiary. The Vatican Dicastery competent in all matters regarding the Internal Forum and in indulgences as expressions of divine mercy. Pope Francis explained that mercy could almost be included among the notes or distinguishing characteristics of the Church, saying the work of divine mercy thus coincides with the very missionary activity of the Church, with evangelization.
E l'opera della misericordia divina viene così a coincidere con la stessa azione missionaria della Chiesa, con la evangelizzazione.
Because the face of God, as shown to us by Jesus, shines through it. Therefore, he said, it is necessary for priests, especially during the season of Lent, to be available to celebrate the sacrament of confession, also known as reconciliation. He emphasized that this priestly availability is shown in certain evangelical attitudes, beginning with welcoming everyone without prejudice, and including listening with the ear of the heart, generously absolving penitents, and accompanying the penitential journey of those who approach the sacrament.
The U.S. Bishops' Doctrine Committee yesterday issuing a statement reiterating, as Catholic News Agency reports this morning, the Church's preference for burial of the deceased and stating that newer methods, including human composting, do not show respect for the human body. In recent years, they said newer methods, technologies, or disposition of the bodies of the deceased have been developed and presented as alternatives to both traditional burial and cremation. A number of these newer methods, however, they said, and technologies pose serious problems in that they fail to manifest the respect for last remains that the Catholic faith requires. In the statement again released yesterday, the bishops explaining the Catholic Church teaches that one day at the final resurrection, the souls of the dead will be reunited with their bodies. Catholics are obliged to respect our bodily existence throughout our lives and to respect the bodies of the deceased when their earthly lives have come to an end. The way that we treat the bodies of our beloved dead must always bear witness to our faith in our hope for what God has promised us. The state of Texas looking to regulate drag performances the same way they do strip clubs. It has the backing of several groups, including Texas Values.
This growing trend of seeing drag queen story hours, it has spread to drag queen shows and public venues, whether it's bars or restaurants or sometimes just parks.
The group's Mary Elizabeth Castle is saying that children are indeed being exposed to over-sexualized content. Weather forecasters say today, as we mentioned in the forecast a few minutes ago, will be filled with severe stormy weather across much of the country. A late-season storm system blanketing the Great Lakes region with snow, while several thunderstorms are expected from the Gulf Coast up to the Tennessee Valley, and the Pacific Northwest could see snow as well. The upper Midwest is likely to catch 5 to 10 inches of snow today, while the rest of the Midwest can expect heavy rain and strong winds. In the south, downpours, damaging winds in excess of 60 miles an hour, along with hail and tornadoes, are possible. Also, winter storm warnings out for the Pacific Northwest with snow possible at any elevation across the greater Portland area. The CEO of TikTok grilled on Capitol Hill yesterday as the U.S. considers banning the popular app. Washington State Republican Rep. Kathy McMorris Rogers questioning CEO Chao Xu on the company's connection to the Chinese Communist Party.
Are you 100% certain that they cannot use your company to promote such messages?
It is our commitment to this committee and all our users that we will keep this free,
If you can't say it 100% certain, I take that as a no.
The House committee also focusing on concerns about the app's data privacy and protection for children. Ohio Rep. Bob Latta questioning the TikTok CEO on keeping teenagers safe on the app.
Why did you have to wait till now to make that following commitment now and not having done it before when this 10-year-old lost her life?
Congressman, I'm reiterating the commitment.
This company is a picture-perfect example of why this committee and Congress needs to take action.
Members grilling the CEO over videos on the site, such as the blackout challenge that has led to death of some young children. A video on TikTok was also played that threatened violence against the committee. During the testimony before the House panel, the CEO discussing the company's effort to move all U.S. data to domestic servers and claimed China has never asked for that information. Mark Mayfield tells us Ukrainian forces are getting ready to launch a counteroffensive as Russia's assault on the eastern city of Bakhmut is losing strength.
Ukraine's top ground forces commander said his troops will soon begin a counteroffensive after holding off Russia's brutal winter campaign. Meanwhile, President Volodymyr Zelensky is warning that the war could drag on for years without a faster supply of weapons. In a video address to EU leaders, Zelensky again called for long-range missiles, ammunition, and modern fighter jets. He also prodded the West to impose more sanctions on Russia.
Almost 25% of American adults are food insecure. That's a jump of about 5 percentage points from a year ago. Now, with inflation continuing to rise, the lines at food banks, the experts say, across the U.S. are growing.
It's blue-collar workers. It's hardworking families. It's those that are out there working two jobs. It's the local soccer coach, the nurse, the small business owner. Those are the ones we're seeing still come through the line as their expenses are going up.
The CEO of Florida's FarmShare, Stephen Shelley, says they're back sending out up 8 to 9 million pounds of food monthly. Grocery costs surging 20% in the past 2 years. In Florida, again, spring break shootings have left two people dead so far. Miami Beach Vice Chair Stephen Miner saying they have to do something to end this senseless violence. On Monday, he is introducing an initiative to put metal detectors in a perimeter around popular Ocean Drive.
Similar to what's done for, let's say, an ultra music festival, where it's public property, but yet there is a large secured perimeter and you have to go through metal detectors to get in.
Commissioners voting against a curfew, but they are taking action to stop the violence. There's a crackdown on drunk driving with DUI checkpoints, and all city parking garages will close at 9 p.m. They're also restricting vehicle access to residential neighborhoods. The Bergen County Prosecutor's Office expected to speak about recent overdoses at a New Jersey mall, along with the recent surge in fentanyl-related overdoses. It comes after five women overdosed at the shops at Riverside in Hackensack last Wednesday, one of whom died over the weekend. And it's not clear if the women knew they were ingesting fentanyl, but two people have been arrested in connection to the case. So far, Bergen County prosecutors say they are investigating the death and want to talk about the fentanyl crisis. Ross Cullen in Paris tells us protests in France turning violent as police are clashing with demonstrators and fires were started in the City of Lights as well.
Huge demonstrations on the streets of Paris and in towns and cities up and down the country. Union leaders claiming it was the biggest day of social action yet, with more than 3 million people demonstrating nationwide on Thursday. But despite the pressure from the opposition, the government is determined to carry on with implementing the reforms, though the unions have called for another day of mass action and strikes across France on March the 28th.
Walmart is joining the growing list of companies announcing layoffs. Reports say the retail giant is cutting hundreds of jobs at five e-commerce fulfillment centers across the country. Walmart says a move is to better prepare for the future needs of customers. The company adds it will work with affected employees to try find them work elsewhere in the company. And finally, in our news segment at almost 9:14 on a busy Friday morning, March 24th, the wedding industry, as Bree Tennis tells us, in the U.S., expected to bring in over $70 billion. Yes, you heard correctly. That's billion. 6,000 weddings a day that adds up to.
If you're getting married this year, it's going to cost you a little bit more than it did last year. TheKnot.com says the average cost of a wedding with 100 guests in the U.S. is now $29,000. That's up a grand from last year. Wedding planning site Zola says 77% of vendors say they'll raise their rates this year, partly because of inflation, but mostly COVID. 3 years of isolation, and now everybody wants a party. And June is out. 43% of weddings this year will happen in the fall. But the most popular day for a wedding in 2023 is Saturday, September 23rd.
It is a Friday. Hope you're having a great day so far. Catholic Connection continues. Doug Keck joins us up next with the inside word on what's happening in and around EWTN, and you don't want to miss any of it. We'll be right back.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Steve Ray here with a Holy Land pilgrimage update. Israel's now open again and has removed all vaccine requirements. Our brand new buses and Catholic guide are ready to welcome you. Check out our upcoming pilgrimages to the biblical lands of Israel and Jordan. Pray every mystery of the rosary where it happened and walk in the footprints of Mary and Jesus, and let us be your guides.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio Travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
Ave Maria Mutual Funds does not invest in companies engaged in abortion, pornography, embryonic stem cell research, and those making corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Ave Maria Mutual Funds has a zero-tolerance policy that helps ensure investments align with moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds may be contacted at 1-866-AVE-MARIA or online at AveMariaFunds.com, a proud sponsor of Ave Maria Radio.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Minutes past the hour. Grab your pen, pay attention, because every Friday with the Inside Word, Doug Keck, our president and chief operating officer, lets us know what's coming up in programming. And really important, especially, Doug, is I can't believe a week from Sunday is Palm Sunday. What's happening? It's going by so fast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It does. It just flies by. And you know, EW10 is always all over it from our great programming team. You know, Peter Gagnon's production group and Michael Elson, who does the programming. And we've got some fine programs this afternoon. We've got Preach with Courage, a program featuring the Fathers of Mercy. You know, they're always great.
Yep.
So you can check that out at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time tomorrow. A couple of masses, the Solemn Mass of the Annunciation, live from Nazareth at 3 a.m. Eastern.
Ooh.
But then we'll encore it at 6:30 p.m. So that's from the Holy Land. That's great. And we've also got the massive installation of the Most Reverend Francis Leo. He's the new Archbishop of Toronto. We'll bring that to you as well tomorrow, coming to you live from the St. Michael's Cathedral Basilica, and that's at 10 a.m. Eastern time. We'll also encore that again later that day at around midnight time. We've also got Marie's Story tomorrow. That's at 8 p.m. It's a true story of a miraculous relationship between Marie, who's a deaf and blind girl, and a nun who recognized her potential. A very powerful story. And then on Sunday, Christians in Turkey, a special program looking at some of the, you know, challenges that are there. And then we roll into, of course, you know, getting into next week, and of course, as we roll up towards getting closer to Easter. But Monday, 27th, is a very, very important special day for all of us at EWTN, because it's the anniversary of mothers joining eternal life. And so we've got Holy Mass and Rosary on the anniversary of Mother Angelica's passing, and we'll have a Mass from and Rosary in honor of Mother from Our Lady of the Angels Chapel that Father Joseph and his team has put together. So you know it's going to be beautiful.
Wow.
And, of course, that'll be our standard 8 a.m. Eastern time. That's on Monday. So all of us who love Mother, and I know you're all out there.
Oh, yeah.
If you can't watch that or participate, you know, keep her in your prayers on Monday. So that'd be great. And also, Biblical Walk Through Christ's Passion, airing next week, Monday through Friday, five-part miniseries with our friend Edward Shree. So he's always good. A lot of great information. And, you know, go to EWTN.com for all the information. Also, don't forget our on-demand page with so many of these programs available 24/7. We post a lot of things on YouTube. And also on the audio side as well, there's Podcast Central featuring all the great programs we feature on EWTN Radio and the best of the rest. So people can look forward to that.
So how many years for Mother Angelica? How many? Four?
I think it's seven, actually.
Seven? You know? Already?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. You know, it's I know it's kind of like, what? You know, you know, it again, you talk about time. You know, it seems as you get older, and I will speak for myself here, not you. You're very young.
Well, no, I think I'm not that much younger than you, my friend. But thank you anyway.
Well, you look much better.
That's clearly true. Olive oil, olive ole. That's what
my
mother
used to say. Very clearly true is the idea that, you know, it seems to be that things that you think just happened yesterday or a long time ago, and sometimes things you think happened a long time ago really were like, oh, that was only
two years ago.
You're
right. I just looked it up. 2016, 7 years.
Right. So it's, you know, and you know, and of course the passing, I'm thinking of that, reminded me of the passing of Deacon Bill, who you know, went before Mother. So it's, you know, it's a big transition, and I think it's a testimony to Michael Warsaw and the entire EWTN team. You know, God's largesse that we've kept the ship going steady and getting stronger than ever, you know, and that we hope certainly that Mother's smiling upon the ongoing work, and we continue to hopefully stay true to what she wanted us to do, which was really to saturate the earth with the truth of the Catholic Church, and that's what our goal is.
One of the things I think she did, well, she did so many, but she reminded us of the importance of how we can grow through suffering. I was thinking about this morning in my first hour. I was doing an interview with the president of Father Gabriel Richard High School. They're having an event with Ave Maria tomorrow, and they're actually doing a whole presentation on resilience and how Catholics need to move when they are receive adversity or resilience, not to run away from it. And I remember one of her favorite quotes of mine is, "The cross is not negotiable, sweetheart."
Right, absolutely. And I always remember Father Benedict Groeschel always said, when things happen to you like this, you don't ask why, you ask what. You ask, now that I have this, how do I use this?
Yeah,
what am I supposed to do with this? And the great insight that Catholic Church has is the concept of a redemptive suffering, that when people are suffering and things are going bad, it doesn't mean because you're ye of little faith or it's your fault, because if you prayed harder, it wouldn't happen to you, or somehow you're a bad person because these tough things happen to you. Not at all. It's the nature of original sin running rampant in the world we live in. And it's an opportunity, as tough as it is, for one to grow in their own spirituality. We all know that athletes and everybody else suffer to get better at what they do. They work hard. If it was easy to do, everybody could do it. And it's not. So we see it elsewhere. Well, it's the same thing in the spiritual life. And we ourselves grow when we suffer. We have more sympathy for other people's situations because we realize, oh, this, I'm going through this, and I've seen these other people. Oh, they're going through even worse than I am. We're the same, so I can have more sympathy rather than thinking, well, I can help them maybe and give them some insight.
Yeah.
Right, and maybe, exactly, insight or even an example where we see people. John Paul II was an incredible example of this saint suffering in front of us. You know, striving to be in union with the Lord and show us the way one continues on regardless of all obstacles.
Yeah. She has so many sayings. One of my other favorites is, faith is one foot on the ground, one foot in the air, and a queasy feeling in the stomach. I quote that all the time.
It probably isn't a week I don't quote that one.
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing. As Mother said, you know, as well, the idea, which has been said by other people too, is, you know, it's, you know, courage isn't being fearless. You know, being fearless is crazy. There's always something to be afraid of. There are downsides to things. Courage is realizing those things and still going forward.
Right.
Right. You know, and still going and saying, okay, I know this is a challenge. I know this may not work out, but I'm trusting in the Lord to go forward, and I have to do that. And so that's a call for all of us when we feel, as you were talking about earlier, you know, when we feel like we, you know, these bad things happen and we kind of back up. You know, or we're afraid to go forward, or we think, oh, okay, maybe the Lord doesn't want me to do this. Well, you know, Father Spitzer always said, I always quote him, and you have him on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea of saying, you know, if that voice is bringing you closer to God, then it's of God. If it's somehow pulling you away from God, then it's not a good voice. And it may even be a voice telling you, you need to be more spiritual. You need mm-hmm. to do more, because it's designed to make you fail.
Right. Right. You know, there's so much that we can learn from her. And I still think about how far I was thinking about this at the journalism conference where I spoke, Journalism mm-hmm. in a Post-Truth World, which was amazing. The panelists, mm-hmm. the discussions were great. But yep. thinking about all the people there in all the different entities that we have within EWTN, as well as the other great people that were very familiar with us and also spoke. But if you look at In News Depth, if you look at The Register, if you look at Catholic News Agency, you know, The World Over, Pro-Life Weekly, all these programs. And everything else that we do about the lives of the saints, and it all started because Mother Angelica had the courage to say yes to God.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're absolutely
seven
right.
Years.
Yep.
May she rest in peace, and may she keeps smiling down on us. Doug, have a great weekend. Look forward to next week.
You too, my friend. Stay well.
Right. God bless. And we'll be right back. Fact Check Friday coming up. Stay tuned. You're listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We'll be right back.
And now, the EWTN Family Prayer with Father Joseph.
Family, a prayer that we pray together is a powerful prayer. So please pray together with me, our EWTN Family Prayer. Today we pray for those who have diabetes. Almighty God, we worship you, our Father. And we pray this day for those who suffer with diabetes. Look upon your children with this illness and grant them relief. Give them patience and the grace of perseverance in taking care of their health. Show them the way to physical and spiritual well-being. Let their cry come to your ears and bring them healing in mind and body and soul. We ask this in the holy name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.
How is authority structured in the Catholic Church? Christ is the source of all authority in the Church. The Lord made St. Peter the rock of his Church, the shepherd of the whole flock. The Pope, Bishop of Rome, and Peter's successor is the perpetual and visible source and foundation of the unity both of the bishops and the whole company of the faithful, according to the Catholic Catechism. Thus, his successor, the Pope and Vicar of Christ on earth, has full, supreme, and universal power, which he can always exercise unhindered. The College of Bishops has no power unless linked to the Roman Pontiff. When united to the Pope as its head, the College has supreme and full authority over the universal Church. But that power cannot be exercised without the agreement of the Roman Pontiff. The College of Bishops exercises power over the Church in an ecumenical council. But, the Catechism reminds us, there is never an ecumenical council which is not confirmed or at least recognized as such by the Pope. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
So I have this quote from Jim Morrison, lead singer of The Doors, the late Jim Morrison, American singer, poet, and songwriter. Whoever controls the media controls the mind. I believe I used it in one of my titles of one of my chapters in my first book, Noise, that came back all the way back in 2007. So this morning I want to talk about is this omission of the media and how they use language very inaccurately and unfairly in order to push agendas. It's really out of control now. And the whole purpose of it is to get you to buy into these ideas that anything goes, it doesn't matter, we should be able to do whatever we want to do with whomever, even if we're talking about young children, precious young children with developing minds. So let's go first to the story that's been happening down in the Sunshine State, the state of Florida, where Governor DeSantis just recently in the last 2 weeks held, actually last 3 weeks, I think, held a big panel discussion and put forward a very powerful video about books that were in the schools and books that were being offered to young children in kindergarten and first through third grade. And because many of these books were very graphic, very concerning, obviously, to parents and to concerned legislators, they were pushing various agendas in terms of transgender, in terms of LGBTQ lifestyle, and just generally pushing sex, all kinds of it, to younger and younger ages. And so because some of the material included books about LGBTQ, all of a sudden the media and those who were supporting that community came up with the phrase, "Don't Say Gay Bill." So why did they do that? And this is where you have to understand, again, what Jim Morrison was saying, right, in terms of the media and our minds. Whoever controls the media controls the mind. Those behind the saying and those who are pushing it in their news coverage want us to think that those who are trying to keep childhood innocent are against those who have same-sex attraction or our brothers and sisters in the LGBT community. That is not it at all. That is an effort to try and allow children to be children. Do you really want a five-year-old exposed to sexual content, overly sexualized content? And we are learning more and more about these horrific stories, and we talked about this yesterday with Father Mitch Pacwa on our Cultural Connection section that we do with him now every Thursday at 9:15 Eastern, that we're seeing teachers telling these children in school, "We'll be your family. You don't need your family at home," and encouraging them out of the blue to really consider quote-unquote transitioning. And this is happening over and over again, and you see in these places over in Europe, and Father Mitch also mentioned this yesterday, that are being shut down because those working on the inside, there are a number of whistleblowers, and there's even now places in the United States this is happening, even though this particular administration is still pushing this transgender agenda, where people who are supporting people quote-unquote transitioning are coming out and saying the way this is being done is wrong, that they're not even examining these people, especially these young people coming in. A few questions and then boom, they start giving them the puberty blockers. And these are people who, again, support this kind of thing. But they say it has to be done, not saying that we're agreeing with it, but they say it's not being done correctly because they're forcing it upon children without really examining what the situation is. And so you have the media saying now that Governor DeSantis is anti-gay, he's oppressed, he's oppressing other people, all because we're trying to let kids be kids. So Tim Graham from the Media Research Center, whom I met at the journalism conference that was put on by EWTN and Franciscan Journalism in the Post-Truth World, has a terrific article on this. It was posted actually today, March 24th, and he's talking about how ABC News in particular is covering this quote-unquote don't say gay measure. So basically what this prohibits, and this is the actual law, lessons in gender fluidity or sexual orientation from kindergarten to third grade. Tim says the press has greeted this as controversial, but if public schools openly teach sexual orientation and transgenderism to 6 years old, that is somehow not controversial. So you see how they're always flipping things on its head, on their head. What is good is evil. What is evil is good. So Ron DeSantis is the bad guy. Those behind this measure, they're the bad guys. It's not controversial to put this explicit material, very over-sexualized material, into the hands of children. Children. It's one thing, Tim Graham says, and you can find this column, it's very good, at newsbusters.org. It's one thing for liberal parents to push the LGBTQ talking points at their dinner table. It's an entirely different thing for the public schools to push it, as activist teachers boast about it on TikTok. Imagine, he says, if a red state encouraged public schools to teach that Jesus Christ is the savior of all mankind. Liberal media, and he's spot on in this, would go crazy against any Democratic critics as pushing a Don't Say Jesus bill that's controversial. So they keep, even on the chyron, he has a picture here of a reporter from ABC News talking about this, and big capital letters, new developments, don't say gay law. So again, constantly using this reference to don't say gay is trying to get it in your head and your mind that the people behind this effort in Florida do not appreciate or understand or accept those in the LGBTQ community. That's not true. They're simply trying to protect children. And this is why when we hear these phrases and when we hear something like this, we have to do our homework. And we have to be our own reporters and find out what's really going on, especially with the language. We have about 3 or 4 minutes left. Another story regarding language has to do with the AP style book. The AP style book is in all the newsrooms, and it's what reporters use for identification, for editing purposes, for titles. Basically, it's everyone has one in a newsroom. Catholic News Agency posted this story last month. AP tells reporters to call crisis pregnancy centers anti-abortion centers. The Associated Press issued new guidelines advising reporters not to use the term crisis pregnancy center or pregnancy resource centers, but to instead refer to those centers that offer pro-life counseling and support as anti-abortion centers. Reporters should avoid potentially misleading terms, the AP said, such as pregnancy resource centers or pregnancy counseling centers, because these terms don't convey that the center's general aim is to prevent abortions. That's one of the aims, but the aim mainly is to help women and to give them all the information that they're not getting from an abortion mill or a Planned Parenthood facility down the street. And this is such another lie and a misuse of language. Anti-abortion centers. We've even been referred to as anti-abortion or anti-choice. Why? Because we're American and we love our choices. And abortion is a sacrament now on the left. And so therefore, we can't give any credit to anyone who helps a woman possibly think something through. No. They have to be labeled bad so a woman won't go near a pregnancy resource center and get the truth. Whoever controls the words or the language controls the media and the mind. We'll be right back.
There's a notorious lack of honesty and far too much sentimentality when we discuss race in America. And it doesn't serve anyone very well in the long run. Right now, of course, the political left in America is exploiting the deaths of George Floyd and Walter Scott and others to exaggerate the degree of racism among police departments. And this exaggeration of injustice is what Karl Marx called heightening the contradiction. It was a precursor, not to reform, but to revolution. And it is important, especially for Christians, to see George Floyd as a brother in Christ. Christ died for George Floyd, but he also died for Derek Chauvin. And as I've said before on this program, I do think criminal justice reform is necessary. But my principal job as a Catholic communicator is not politics, but to share biblical truth. Racial injustice results from Christians failing to apply the fundamental truth that we are all created in God's image.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta. 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I want to welcome you, if you're not familiar, with the wonderful world of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What will America become if it makes it impossible for the Holy Spirit to work here because of untruth and self-indulgence and paganism? This is not just a nice discussion of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to discuss what happens when people make it impossible to be prudent, just, or honest, or brave, or courageous, or reverent. When people make that impossible, what a terrible thing they do not only to themselves, but to our society.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Yeah. Connection. It is a Friday morning. It is March 24th. Good to be with you, offering prayers for all the people attending the Diocese of Venice Major Eucharistic Conference tomorrow. Do hope that you'll help keep us all in prayer. 1,400 people are coming from all over the good state of Florida and elsewhere for this amazing retreat to focus on Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And really looking forward to it. And thanks to the bishop there for inviting me to speak. Also, Jim from the diocese who heard me speak in Pittsburgh, actually. And that's how I got invited to speak. So I'm really excited. Although, you know, sometimes I just wish I could be in two places at once because there's this amazing event going on in the Diocese of Lansing as well that's co-sponsored by Ave Maria Radio and Father Gabriel Richard High School. So there's so many great things going on. All right, so speaking of the Eucharist and speaking of all good things Catholic, I'm so excited to have Mark Hart on. I haven't talked to Mark in a while, but he's a dynamic Catholic evangelist, and he serves as a chief innovation officer for Life Teen International. And he's also really helping to get the word out about these Ascension programs. He's also an author and international speaker as well. But these really great programs that Ascension is producing regarding the sacrament of reconciliation and communion, especially for young people. Mark, great to speak to you again.
You as well, my friend. I miss you.
Yeah, I miss you too. How are you?
I'm out in the perfection that is Phoenix today.
Ah.
and I'm much warmer than you, I guarantee.
Yeah, it's not too bad today. We're actually kind of glad it's going to be a high of 50. Woohoo! In Michigan. We're having a heat wave. Anyway, we're so glad you're with us. Tell us a little bit about these programs through Ascension. They're just so great and such great tools for, I think, for families and for parishes. Oops, Mark, are you there? I think we lost Mark Hart. We're going to try to call him again. Okay, so we are working on the conversation with Mark Hart. And again, he is connected with Renewed and Received, these brand new programs from Ascension Press. And of course, you can find out more about ascensionpress.com. All right, so we kept losing you with your phone. So I was asking you before we were rudely interrupted by the phone disconnection, tell us about Renewed and Received.
You know, Renewed and Received, I'm really excited about these projects, both as a catechist and as a parent. I have four, and my youngest right now just finished going through reconciliation last year and is currently in the middle of preparing for communion. And one of the things I'll say is no matter how hard the catechists at our parishes work, it really is a challenge because you're trying to get not only the kids to understand the grace of the sacraments, the reality of God's love, you're also trying to get the parents to understand at the same time. And it can be sort of like catechetically herding cats, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And these new projects, they really hit on both levels. They hit on the student level with illustrations, with activities, with games and explanations that really make the sacraments, both sacraments, come to life. But then they also have a whole separate component for parents. So the parents, I mean, we know the catechism says the parents are the primary catechist. Well, you know, childbirth does not necessarily a primary catechist make. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of us, we need refreshers, we need help, we need aids. I think a lot of our parents, they want to walk their kids more deeply into the mystery and the beauty of the sacraments. But sometimes we need a little refresher ourselves to remind ourselves things we learned 30 and 40 years ago. So these programs really are designed to help the family holistically, both the kids to enter into God's love, the parents to be reminded of God's love, and the leader guides, the manuals, to help catechists, maybe who've been doing this for 10, 20, 30 years, to envision the teaching in a new way.
So in terms of these programs, they're for both. Can you use it at home at well, in addition to maybe a catechetical program, Mark, at the parish?
Correct. So parents, if they're happy with the program of the parish, they can actually get their own access online. It's very, very low cost. Parents can get an online certification course to be, you know, to be reminded and updated. They can have an online course for students. They can do it alongside with their child in the comfort of their own living room or family room at their own pace. There are videos. There are little prayer exercises, little worksheets that they can do with their kids. So it really is a both and. You can do it on a parish level, at home, or a both and. It's wonderfully designed.
And that's awesome. We're talking with Mark Hart, Catholic evangelist, speaker, and author. Received, Your Journey to First Communion, and Renewed, Your Journey to First Reconciliation, both published by and produced by our friends at Ascension Press. So why do you think this program is different than other programs out there, Mark?
You know, I'll be honest. A lot of parish programs, they have really great intentions, but oftentimes you'll have maybe a catechist who wants to volunteer their time, and they have a tremendous heart, but maybe they don't have the formation behind it. So questions will pop up. You'll have a young mind, young soul, ask a normal question. And a catechism may be ill-prepared or ill-equipped to really expound on it or answer it. Everything in these guides, it's not just the presenters on video who are talented presenters, you know, Father Mike Schmitz, Sister Josephine Garrett, you know, Jackie Bobby Angel. It's not just the presenters on the screen. It's all the catechists and designers working behind the scenes, many of us who have been in ministry for, you know, 20 and 30 years, but who also have our own children who have gone through the process, both good processes and processes you felt were lacking. All those years of experience have poured into these resources. So you have sort of the best of both worlds. You have those who are accustomed to presenting and catechizing, and then taking their talents and joining them to those who really know how to get the message out, know how to construct a teaching, know how to construct artwork that engages the mind, videos that engage the heart. All these collective souls, that's a lot of years of experience,
right?
But all with one goal, one united, unified, you know, solidified Catholic goal of leading souls closer to the love and the mercy of Jesus.
So in your years of teaching and speaking, and especially as a parent, you've probably seen a situation, I know this is a big problem, I hear it from a lot of catechists when I go around the country, as I'm sure you do, that parents often, not all, but many, and I think some parents who are really kind of vested in their kids' Catholic education, and I'm not just talking about going to Catholic school, but learning the faith, get frustrated with others who literally just drop their kids off at catechism class and then come back and pick them up, and so there's no reinforcement at home.
Yeah, honestly, it's like you and I have coffee every day. This I've been in youth ministry for 28 years, and that is one of the biggest difficulties, challenges, and frustrations, quite honestly. And you think to yourself, well, at least the parents are dropping them off. But the reality is that the parents and the parish are really supposed to work together. You know,
right.
When the young woman had died in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, but he also takes the parents into the bedroom, and they're all there together as he resuscitates her. He's bringing her back to life.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an intuitive instruction there that the church has to play a role. It's just the parents do. And hand in hand, side by side, it's that old that it takes a village. We should be working in tandem. The parents, yes, are the primary catechists. I would love it if I did not need to have a job in ministry. But the reality is we're all in this together. And St. Peter tells us in 1 Peter that the goal of our faith is the salvation of souls, plural. He's trying to remind us that it's not just about my salvation. It's about the salvation of all in my household, all in my parish community, all in my neighborhood. And we have to work together if we're all going to cross this finish line into eternal life.
Yeah, it's so true. Talking with Evangelist Mark Cart, who's very involved in these new beautiful programs from Ascension, including Received, Your Journey to First Communion, and Renewed, Your Journey to First Reconciliation, ascensionpress.com. It's about 46 minutes past the hour. You know, a really neat thing we started at our parish, Mark, and I think this kind of ties in with the whole idea of what Ascension is presenting with these great video programs. We have an amazing director of catechesis at our parish, and she said, okay, none of these parents just dropping their kids off and not, you know, getting catechized themselves. So what they do at our parish is once a month, I believe, they bring the parents and the young people together, and they have an all-day session. And the children go off and learn something else from their instructors or catechetical instructors, and the parents are there, and they hear from adults in the faith. My husband and I gave a talk about a reversion to the faith, I think it was last year, to the parents. And so then they break up in discussion groups, and they talk, and we have to build our presentation on what they're studying that particular month. And so we're trying to build on what the school is doing. But something like that, it has gotten a really great response because you make it real for the parents as well.
Absolutely. And you know what's funny, Teresa, the fact that you said that so many parishes around the country are adapting this kind of a model, whether it's once a month on a Saturday, whether it's, hey, it's weekly. You know, you're dropping the kids off. They're going to be here anyway. Rather than going down the street and spending $25 on a latte, why don't you just pull into the parking lot, come into a different room in the hall, and we're going to run a concurrent, you know, situation or concurrent programming on a similar topic. And people, I think at first they were leery to thinking parents are busy, they're too busy. Parents are never too busy when it comes to the soul salvation and formation of their own kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's been overwhelming to me, and I've been in the same situations as different parishes where you're thinking it might be 10 or 15 parents, a smattering. It's standing room only, and parents are coming in with journals and with notebooks ready to take notes and ready to engage. It really has, it's bringing life and breathing life into parishes, not just into, you know, religious education or what we knew as CCD programs.
I really think it's making it real, not dumbing it down, not watering it down, but it's making it real and helping them relate to it.
honestly, nobody likes vanilla. I mean, even though it's a flavor on every menu, no one really likes it. We want flavor. We want truth. People will come back for truth. What people don't come back for is vanilla. So if we can form these young souls and minds, whether it's in Renewed, which is the reconciliation program, to see that sin is real, but God's grace is bigger, and God's love is bigger, and he gives us this amazing thing in the priesthood to help us, you know, remove the sin and reinstill the grace. When we talk about God's love, God is not distant. God is intimate. He's here. So when you talk about receive, the communion program, to understand that God draws near to us. God loves us, whether you're in a good place, in a bad place, he still loves you. To learn about that sort of unconditional love in the most formative years, when your conscience kicks in and you're 7, 8, 9 years old, those are lessons that will remain with you the rest of your life and that will keep our young people Catholic.
So speaking of received, pun intended, how well is this being received across the country? I know it's relatively new, but what are you seeing in terms of a response?
Honestly, I'm a little biased. I mean, I'm part of it. I'm one of the authors. I'm one of the presenters. So when I got it home, I wanted to put it against the hardest test market there is, and that's my own kids, and showing it to my own third grader. And I was amazed because he's really adept when it comes to tablets and screens and movies. He was enthralled. He was going through it. He was doing the crossword games. He was watching the videos. Had great conversations in the car. And right now, if you go to ascensionpress.com, any parent out there, any catechist out there, you can receive a free preview. And the best part is to be able to see these things before you actually make a purchase. You get a preview of 20 different videos of the leader guide. You can see what the students would look at, see what the parents would look at. But when the toughest critic is not asking dad to turn it off so he can turn back on his cartoons, and we're actually sitting there having conversations in the car, it's really, that to me is the greatest proof of purchase right there. I mean, that when souls are engaged, as a parent, you sit and you say, wow, there's nothing more important. I mean, what more important can I give my child than to pass on the faith? Teresa, I don't have anything in my will. I mean, me putting my son in my will is not going to help him. Mm-hmm. Me introducing my son to the Father's will, that's going to help him for eternity.
Right.
And that's all he really needs.
Yeah, and I think there's always a balance, too, and I think Ascension realizes this, and so do we at EW10, where you have to have something that is well-produced that will keep someone's attention, but then you don't want to just make it all bells and whistles where it's just about fancy images on the screen. It has to have solid content.
And, that's always the challenge. You know, the minute you hear religious programming, oftentimes there's a roll in the eyes. Until you actually give it a try and you see, wow, there are a lot of men and women behind these pieces that really know how to tell a story, that really are invested. They have a like mind and a like heart. But at the end of the day, like you said, if it's just frosting, I mean, every parent knows that's the last thing you want to give your child is just pure sugar. There needs to be content. There needs to be protein. There needs to be something that's going to actually satiate them and fill them. And I really do feel like the content that's being put out for all these ages, that is the reason that I continue to work with Ascension, because they really do, it's not about sales, it's about souls. And they really do understand that. And people can see that in the great work with things like the Bible in a Year with Father Mike and the Catechism.
Catechism in a Year, yep.
I mean, there are great things going on in the church. These things did not exist when I was a child.
I mean, neither. I mean, it's awesome, right?
I mean, there was nothing close to this. And I can tell horror stories about the things that I heard and watched in religious education. And somehow, by the grace of God, you escaped, I escaped. But it's not like that anymore. It used to be you had to go to a Protestant Bible bookstore and you had to sort of inject Mary and inject the sacraments into their booklets and workbooks. Not anymore. I think right now the Catholic Church, in a beautiful and bold way, is leading the way when it comes to youth evangelization and catechesis.
Well, I totally agree, and I think it's a great time to be Catholic, and there's so many great resources, including those from Ascension Press. And I'm on the website. It's right there on the homepage, very easy to check out. And as you said, you can preview the videos before purchasing them. Check it out. Renewed, of course, Journey to Reconciliation, and Received, a Journey to First Communion, right there on the homepage of ascensionpress.com. Again, ascensionpress.com. Mark Hart, always great to catch up with you. Wishing you the rest of your Lent. Be a very, very blessed Lent. And as we say in Italian, Buona Pasqua, and really Buona Pasqua. Happy Easter to you.
Thanks for all you do, Teresa. Talk to you later.
You too. God bless. Mark Hart with us, of course, great Catholic evangelist, author, and speaker, talking about these terrific new programs from Ascension. Can be used at home, but also in the classroom. Renewed and Received. It is a Friday morning. We'll be right back to let you know what's coming up on a Monday. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak. Want a better family life this Lent? Join the Catholic Home 40 Days for Families Challenge.
Lent calls us to do more to share God's love with others. The best place to start doing that is in our families.
Go to CatholicHOM.com to download the premium version of the Catholic Home app. Use the promo code AVE for 50% off the first month.
Discover how God wants to transform your family life this Lent with the 40 Days for Families Challenge at CatholicHOM.com.
Does everyone go to heaven?
The Christian Church had a clear position on this issue through the centuries, and it was not that everyone is saved.
Why would a loving God send anyone to hell?
In heaven, it isn't that all of our questions will suddenly be answered. It's just we will realize that there was never any question at all.
Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries are pleased to present this roundtable discussion on universalism. Dr. Michael McClyman.
The prophets all emphasized the importance of choice and consequences of choices.
Al Cresta.
And he said, enter through the narrow gate. Why is the path to destruction?
And Ralph Martin.
Why would you bother to help another person come to know Christ and believe in him and repent if you think that in the end we're all going to be saved?
Provide clear reasons why the presumption that all are saved is radically inconsistent with Scripture and church teaching.
Hardly anybody knows what the official teaching of the Catholic Church is.
Universalism. Not Christian, not universal. Find it on the homepage of the Ave Maria Radio website, avemariaradio.net.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Wishing you a beautiful weekend. Coming up Monday, remembering Mother Angelica. Raymond Arroyo is joining us on his new book on Edison, The Unexpected Light of Thomas Edison. But I'm sure he'll have some great comments and reflections on Mother Angelica. So he's joining us on a Monday. And, of course, we'll also have Gail Buckley with our scripture verse of the week and all the news that is fit to share with you. Thank you so much for tuning in to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And pray for all the people, 1,400-plus, attending a big conference tomorrow in the Diocese of Venice to look at Jesus in the Eucharist. Talk to you on a Monday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.